Just think. You arrived here this morning with all that love inside of you. All of it inside of you. Every hug, every smile, every word of encouragement, the joy that you felt releasing it. There's one thing about love. If you don't give it away, you can't get any more. So what you just did was become a great receiver of more love because you give it away. It's good to be part of a family, isn't it? There was a handout given to you this morning. It says Sunday morning, February the 3rd, 2013. You probably, for those of you that have been here the last several weeks, you probably have the other handout. We're going to take the next 15 minutes and allow you to read that handout. Do you know what the word Selah means? S-E-L-A-H. You know what that means? It's used about, I'm going to say, little under 100 times in the Word. But David was the one that began to use it when he wrote the Psalms. And the world has put a meaning to it that it's a break in the music. And then you go on. But really what it is a time for you to stop and think about what was just sung or what was just spoken. So with that in mind, as you read these this morning, they've been laid out sort of, not haphazardly, but if you take the time and just stop and think about what he just said. Now in prelude, before really we begin the message or begin what I feel like the Lord would have to say, I believe the Lord, he's not only anxious, do you know that he was intense? Does that word scare you? His intentionality. He only had one thing in mind. And you couldn't change his opinion. He only did what the Father told him to do. He only said what the Father told him to say. He only acted the way the Father told him to act. And he only went where the Father told him to go. He has entered into a time of intentionality with those who have done the message, doing the message, and will continue to do the message. Now, he's always been that way because he never changes. But for us, and for those of you that are listening, if the Holy Spirit has directed you to this service and other services that just previously has been brought forth, he is very, very intentional. He has one thing on his mind, and that is for you to possess your promised land. We titled it, Possess Your Promised Land. But he has one thing in mind, and that is for you to accomplish his will in your life, the rest of your life. And if we have walked by grace into this season. So without further ado, I'm going to let you read these. And it would be a good time to take a break. I will see you in 15 minutes. And everyone said, amen. What's remarkable to me, or amazing, or exciting, or thrilling, or in wonderment, is the completeness of the Holy Spirit and His teaching ability. Five of the six words that you just read came forth Wednesday night when Alan was teaching. Well, he really wasn't teaching. He was here, but it wasn't him that was teaching. And I've not asked him this prior to this time, so I'm going to ask him now. Alan, has there ever been a time in any service you've ever had where you brought forth five words, one right after another? Pardon me?
No.
Pardon me?
No, sir.
Now, I don't know if that speaks volumes to you, but it speaks volumes to me. That the Lord could take a vessel, and each one of you are that type of vessel, incidentally. We covered the good ground a little bit last week, and we most likely will cover it a little bit more today, if the Lord wills and we have time. Alan was gone since the 10th, or it was two Sundays ago when the Lord began to teach us from the document, The God of Hope. Alan has been gone the entire time. And Alan is, in the natural, Alan is a father and a husband. And I'll guarantee you that when he come home from Brazil and arrived on the ground, he did not rush to go listen to all the messages that have come forth the 2 weeks he's been gone. And he probably has not listened to them yet. But he was a pure candidate. When the Lord said he should have Wednesday night service when they come home, and I labored a little bit to say he's only been here a couple days, got in Sunday, flights were late, and in essence, I didn't get a request to change it. Now, I'm not that smart, incidentally, but I have to walk you through this. So Alan comes, and the Holy Spirit says, I have something to say that I've never said before, that everyone needs to hear it. I see these words, and almost the majority of the words, as the Holy Spirit is the person that is writing the concordance to my Bible. There's not a line in any of these that you cannot go find a scripture for, because this is the foundation. Okay. But when he decides to become the concordance for me, and he pulls out of all of the books and says, I've got something to say to you now, I better listen, because he doesn't have anything else on his mind. He's already looked at my heart. He already knows what I can receive and what I can't receive. He already knows the path of my future. And he's saying, I want you to hear this now. And that's what he did. And that's what he is doing in every service. He's done that for a long, long time. You're all aware of that. I'm only refreshing our memory and the mind of Christ, how we have to be so single-mindedness, so intense, if you want to use that word, to walk the path that he's asked you to walk to possess your part of the promised land. I'm going to go to two. My recommendation is I'd put the word 50 at the top of the first page, and I would begin to be sure that you read them at least 50 times, because you won't read them by yourself. You'll be reading them with the Holy Spirit, and he will begin to add things, and he will begin to bring things up in your heart. I'd like to go to, a couple highlights. Well, hopefully you've already underlined yours. Hopefully you already got one. Boy, that really speaks to me. Let's go to, it's the back of the first page. I believe yours is printed front and back, isn't it? Go to the one that says, "Believe in the miraculous." I long for the time that the world can see my heart and my love for them. I ache for them to see my love. Please continue to follow. Please continue to trust me. Very, very seldom has ever a word come forth that the Lord himself gets down on his knees and says, "Please, please, please." Can you see him doing that? Is that part of the hope that's built inside of you? As a beggar? As someone that's asking, "Please, please will you listen? Please will you hear what I have to say? Please, I want to show my love." Let's go to the last one. "My words are true from your Father." How many times have we heard our pastor say that God is a God and he's not a man that he could lie? Every word that he's ever given you is the absolute truth. And everything that you believe outside of that word is a lie. You know the words that I've given you. The ones that you know are from me. Filter through the papers of prophecies and words, and you know which ones are in your heart that I've spoken to you. Do you think I can lie? I cannot lie. So don't believe what's around you, and don't believe the lies of the enemy. He's the father of lies. My truth, my word that I have spoken to you, the personal words that you hold on to, they are truth. They are truth from your Father. Hold on to them. Hold on tightly to them. because that is where you will be if you follow me. Don't slow down. There is no other way, just my way. That's it. So when you feel and are overwhelmed with wonder and defeat, of failure or thoughts of failure, just remember what I have spoken to you. Remember those times of intimate words that my heart has spoken to your heart, the prophecies that have been spoken to you in the past that were personal to you. They are not just words on a paper. They are my word. They are my truth. So you can hold on to them as truth and believe in them as truth. It was last week that we asked you to take 5 minutes and become quiet before the Lord and write on a sheet of paper the hopes that you had. At that point in the service, the enemy came. I don't know how many of you know it, and if you don't know it, that's fine. But he came to steal the word immediately. He is more intent on stealing your future, which is stealing your hope, than you are in to accomplish it. And that's not a critical statement. We are in offensive warfare. That's this season. He does not want you to do any of this. You could sum up much of what's been spoken since the first of the year in this one word. The season has changed. Manna has ceased. Provision has changed. We are now possessing a promised land, which is Jesus. Absolutely, positively, he is the promised land. But we are to possess him. We are there because of all the word says and all this says. We are in victory. You've read it. But it is taking possession of it and becoming a great receiver. Becoming a receiver of your words. He has elevated the words that he's given you to the same level that he's elevated the word. This is not the first time he has said it. The last time he said it, I'm going to say, was in, I won't even try to give a date. But he said, in direct proportion to how you receive those words is in direct proportion to how you overcome and win and possess. And your transformation into like him. I have had several emails, more than several calls. The number of people that doesn't have this word. They don't have the privilege of having this word yet. But they went back and pulled their prophecies out. They'd actually buried them. They'd actually lost all hope. They actually had taken them and put them away in a drawer. Said, I'll never have that. We all have an opportunity to get them out of the drawer. We have an opportunity to shake them in the enemy's face and says, this is it. and go back to hell or wherever you want to go, but get out of my life. This is truth. You've probably done due diligence originally and went and looked scriptures up to say, boy, I don't know that you've ever said this before. And lo and behold, you find the verse that says identically the same thing. My, I didn't know it was there. Holy Spirit doesn't, he almost doesn't have to say, well, he doesn't say anything new. It's all within the Word. He just personalizes it for you and for you to walk in it. And you know your promised land is not mine. I look out and see their promised land doesn't look anything like mine. Because their part of the promised land is right there next to me. And there is no fence between us. When you drove into the church today, you may not notice when I drive in, I'm absolutely amazed many times at how beautiful the property. You have any idea the reward that God's going to give him when he gets to heaven for taking care of his sanctuary? He's already been possessing his promised land. I mean, there's more. That's who you are. I just don't know it. I just don't know you that well. But you are good ground. There may be a tiny part of your heart that there's a rock in, but that's mortification. You know, none of us today is the Garden of Eden inside of us. And every place that we've received the grace, he's removed and removed and removed, and we're possessing more of the garden. Let's please turn to, I'm going to try to get this much in today. And if you feel as though we're going too slow, you know, you now have Alan to blame. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks, he is the teacher. How many times have you received the word or have read a word where the Lord says, soon, soon? He's the only one that can say it that way and not lie. Because he sits outside of time. And his soon is based on how soon you possess what he just said. We won't get into Abraham today, but we will get there. Okay, Matthew 13. I'm going to give you three references for you to study when you go home. I pray that you're doing that. And I'm praying that you're meditating. First one is Matthew 13:23. The next one is Mark 4:20. And the next one is Luke 8:15. We touched on this last week. And those are the three references where the Lord presented the parable of the sower sows the word. And they're the three references that are addressing the good ground. If you're born again, and you're 1 second old, your heart is good ground. 100%. And your born again spirit is good ground. There's no weeds and there's no rocks in your born again spirit. Guaranteed. You're in Christ. You're not standing outside of them. However, the Father came up with the wisdom to say, wait a minute, I've got to take this individual and I've got to put him into Christ so that he can live the rest of his life for me. I'm going to put him inside of Christ. And when I look at him, all I see is my son. And whatever the past was, is gone. We shared that last week, that God's a God of the present and the future. The enemy only has the ability to talk about the past because he has no future. None. And he wants you to live with him instead of you stepping into the present and the future and become everything that he said you could become. In Matthew 13:23, it says this, and he that received seed into the good ground is he that heard the word and understood it, which also bare fruit, and bringing forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you're a Bible marker, I would mark the word understand it. Mark 4:20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I would underline and circle the word receive it. Luke 8:15. But that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart bringeth for, having heard the word, keepeth it, and bring forth fruit unto patience. I would circle the word keep it. If you don't understand it, you cannot receive it. Now we're talking about the heart. We're not talking about your brain. If you don't understand it, you're unable to receive it. And if you're unable to receive it, you're unable to keep it. It is a growth cycle. You have to understand it. You have to receive it. And you have to keep it. There is grace, pure grace, that when the Lord brings forth truth, he always, always brings forth grace for you to receive the truth that he just brought forth. He never, ever, ever brings forth truth that he does not bring forth grace for you to receive it. I mentioned four things last week, began to mention four things that I would recommend or for you to consider to do with the personal words that have come forth for your life, the rhema words, the words that you're excited about that you enjoy reading. Now, the first one was that I would personalize them. And those of you, I brought forth some examples how if you read, well, let's do that. We've got if we take Building Your Hope in Me, the handout that you have. Tim, as you enter into this time of building yourself up on hope in me, Tim, you need to know one thing. I don't have two things to tell you, Tim. I don't have three things to tell you. You must know this one thing. It is not your success. It's not how long you've been doing the message. It has nothing to do with your performance. Believe me, I am a performance kind of guy. But when it comes to what he's talking about, okay, what he wants me possess. It has nothing to do with my performance. It has everything to do, Tim, that you enter into the promises that you have in me. For I, and I alone, performed all things so that you are now free, free to receive. Leah knows how much that word receive means to me. And with this, I'll close. I would like to go on and on. I was in London, England, really a place called Potter's Bar, and I was installing a computer system about probably 15 years ago, honey. How many? Are you laughing at me or with me? I was installing a computer system 30 years ago in Potter's Bar, and they were utilizing the software that the Lord allowed me to develop. And we were over there. We flew over. We were there for a two-week period or something. And I had a real desire to go to church that morning. For what reason, I had no idea, but I decided I really wanted to go. And I went to this small church, could have been 50 people. As much as I could feel the presence of the Lord, I felt it. Not like today, but then. And we were sitting there, and the worship was good. And the pastor come up, and he brought all the children up. Because they were going to go to Sunday school class, and he wanted everybody to pray for them. And everybody prayed for them, and he dismissed them. And he took his finger. Well, he took his finger and he went like this. And he didn't know he was pointing at me. He just knew that he was pointing. And he said, you must learn how to become a great receiver. Now, whatever was on the end of his finger so penetrated me that I bowled over, not in convulsions, but I went over like this. I had the office manager sitting on this side, and okay, I started to cry and hurt, and they thought I was sick. They thought it was jet lag or whatever. Okay, but that's where we all are, is become great receivers. Great receivers. You will never receive all that he has for you. Because it's inexhaustible. Your promised land. Your victory. These words say it. They say, I mean, they're here. See you in 30 minutes.